This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the trial of Scott Peterson, the Parkland School Resource Officer. Let's go to the courtroom for today's segment number four.
Ma'am, if I could have you come all the way up here to the witness stand, please. Once you reach it, but before you have a seat, if you can just stop and look at me. Raise your right hand, please. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Please be seated. Once you are seated, if I can get you to scoot that chair forward as far as it will go, can you please state your full name and spell your full name?
Melanie Weber, M-E-L-A-N-I-E-W-E-B-E-R.
Spell your last name one more time.
1B. Yes.
Understood. Mr. Igarsh, you may inquire.
Do you prefer that I call you Melanie or Miss Weber?
Melanie is fine.
Okay, Melanie. Do you work? Are you in school?
I just graduated from Florida State.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what was your major?
Biology.
And what are you studying to become?
I just applied to med school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you ever attend Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School?
Yes.
Back on February 14, 2018, day of the shooting, what class were you in?
I was in Ms. Hertzfeld's drama class.
Okay. What building is that in?
The 700 building.
Okay. Let me show you a photograph of a portion of the 700 building and ask if you can identify where your class was.
I can't reach it. It's like that door right there. Or no, this one.
Okay. So it's to the, I guess, to the closest to you, next to the tree. Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Would it be right the other side of this pole?
Is that another way to say it? That's the door.
Okay. That's on the first floor, correct?
Yes.
And what kind of class was Ms. Hertzfeld's?
It was a drama class.
And were you one of the ones participating in that musical they had going there?
Yes.
All right. And then what happens next?
So we were rehearsing for our spring show, and then the fire alarm went off. And so me and a bunch of my friends in the drama room responded to it like we would any other fire alarm, and we walked outside in response to it going off.
And if you can show us on that same photograph what your path was.
Mm-hmm. So we walked out the door and started crossing this patch of grass kind of diagonally over to the parking lot where we usually gather for fire drills.
Show the jurors where the 1200 building is.
Right here.
Okay. So is your classroom facing the 1200 building?
Yes.
Are you right across from the 1200 building?
Yes.
And what happens next as you're walking?
As we were walking, I want to say we were right in the middle of this grass patch. That's when we heard the gunshots.
Okay. And how many did you hear?
Around 7.
Did you recognize them as gunshots right away?
No.
What did you think that they were?
At first, I thought that they were firecrackers or some kind of explosive.
And what did you do in response?
We immediately turned around and ran back into our classroom.
All right. And how were you feeling in that moment?
Scared.
And when you heard the shots, as you indicated, between the 12 and the 700 building where you identified, where did you think that they were coming from?
Since it was so loud and the sound was echoing and reverberating off of all the buildings, I initially thought that they were coming from the soccer field.
Okay. Let me show you what is marked as Defense Exhibit F. Can you show the jurors if this is the 1200 building and this is the 700 building?
Yes.
Where would the soccer field be?
Over there.
Okay. Is a soccer field also used as a football field?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that area is very, very west of the 1200 building, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were able to...
Yeah.
That noise
yes.
you can't take.
Sorry, yes.
And did you ever think that the shots then were contained inside a particular building?
No.
Did you ever think that those shots were coming from the 1200 building?
No.
And did you ever see my client on the scene?
I believe I did.
Okay. And do you remember anything about seeing him there?
I don't know if my memory is 100% accurate, but I remember when I walked out into the patch of grass in between the freshman building and the 700 building, I saw him kind of on the side of the freshman building facing the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I believe there might have been a golf cart that he was getting out of, and it seemed like he was, running towards it or something like that.
All right. Anything else that you recall?
I feel like I remember him, I have like a gun or reach for it or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. My memory isn't, it was 5 years ago. So
you believe you might have seen him reaching for the gun, but you're not sure.
Correct? Yeah.
Okay. And you had mentioned the word echo or echoey.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us what you mean by that.
I was echoing.
Had you experienced that before the shooting ever, where you hear a loud sound in that area and you're not sure where the sound is coming from?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, but on the day in question, you described it as echoey, correct?
Yes.
And can you describe the configuration of the buildings which might cause that?
All of the buildings at Stoneman Douglas are kind of... Stoneman Douglas, even though it's made up of multiple buildings, it is just kind of like a big square. So there are a lot of courtyards and a lot of, walls that sounds could just bounce off of, because especially in the patch of grass where I was right in between two buildings, and there are more buildings over here. So it's just, an area where the waste can bounce off.
Got it. I thank you very much, and good luck with vet school.
Yeah, thank you.
Cross-examination, go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I tend to speak pretty quickly. If you need me to slow down, just let me know.
Okay.
I'm going to show you a picture. Melanie, I'm showing you what's already in evidence. It states 17. And your screen is actually interactive, Your Honor. Can we please put on the annotator? So what that means with
this pencil, can go to everywhere?
Yes, sir. You can mark when I ask certain questions. You can actually use the pencil function. So I know that Mr. Igla showed you a picture of where your classroom was. Looking from the aerial, do you recognize where the 700 building is?
Can I draw on it?
Yeah, please.
Okay, is it
next,
this one right here?
Ooh, okay.
That right there?
Now, approximately, looking from the aerial view, where would you say your classroom was?
Right here.
Okay. And when you came out of the classroom, if you could just maybe change colors, whatever color you want, see on the bottom?
Okay.
What was the track? Like, where did you go?
Is this sidewalk in the middle new? Because... Okay. Just because I'm kind of confused by the image, because I just remember this all being grass.
Let me ask you this then. Do you remember the 1200 building?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see the 1200 building?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So looking at, let me show you. Mark showed you. I just knocked it. It's over. Do you see that concrete?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that wasn't there when I went to school there, so I was just confused by the image. Okay. Yeah. So I probably walked out here and got to around here.
So you got to about there. Where, and if you could mark just with an X, approximately where was Mr. Peterson when you saw him?
I want to say around here.
Did you see him on the concrete area there?
I can't remember if he was on the concrete or on the grass, but I definitely remember him being in this general vicinity.
Okay. Going back to the concrete, you said it wasn't there when you were at MSD. Are you sure about that? Do you remember that?
I don't know. It was 5 years ago. I mean, this sidewalk was definitely here, but this concrete cutting through the grass here, I don't know if I remember that.
Okay. But it could possibly have been there. It's possible it could have been there. I'm asking, is it possible?
Possible that I saw him.
No, I'm just asking about the concrete, just the walkway.
It's possible, yeah. I just don't 100% remember.
Okay. Because you said earlier on direct examination from Mr. Eyeglass, your memory is not exactly 100%. It happened a long time ago, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you come out, you're following the line up there, and that's when you heard the noises, correct?
Yes.
How loud were they?
They were very, very loud. I had never heard gunshots before, so...
That was my next question.
It was very loud. At first, I thought that something was exploding.
Okay. As soon as you heard those shots, did you immediately turn around and run back to Ms. Hertzfeld's class?
It's interesting that you asked that because according to my memory, I think I was in shock at first trying to figure out what was going on because if someone was lighting firecrackers and that's what I, or like explosives and that was what I initially thought. I don't know. I was just trying to take in my surroundings and figure out what was going on. I feel like I remember pausing and being like, what was that? And then saying to myself, I probably should run back into the classroom. But when I watched a recording, the surveillance footage, it seemed like I turned around immediately and ran back. So
okay.
I'm not sure.
So, well, let me ask you this then. Was your concern when you heard that sound of letting me get back to the classroom as quickly as possible? Was it your safety? Was that your first thought?
Yeah. Yes.
Was it, let me look around, let me see exactly where this is coming from?
No.
Were you focused on the 1200 building, for instance? Or are the shots coming out of there?
No, I was. No. Not specifically.
Now, at some point in time, did you see another person standing next to Mr. Peterson? Do you remember that?
Yes, I did see another person.
Do you remember his name?
I think Mr. Greenleaf.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you at any point in time see Mr. Greenleaf waving the students back into the 700?
Yes, I did. That was when I was walking out before I heard the gunshots, I saw him waving at us and I kind of stopped in my tracks because I was like, why is he waving at us? And that was when I heard the gunshots.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're walking out, you see Mr. Greenleaf waving, gunshots,
mm-hmm.
immediately run back.
Yes, that's correct.
And you said you heard what you remember to be 7 shots.
Around that
okay.
number.
More than 2 or 3?
Yeah.
When you turned around to run back to the 700, did other students join you and also running back in that direction?
Yes.
And that's running away from the 1200 building? The direction of the 1200 building?
Yeah, running away from the direction of the 1200 building.
You testified on direct examination that you saw, you believe you saw Mr. Peterson kind of on the side of the building where you marked the X.
Yes.
Which way was he facing when you saw him?
He was facing the freshman building.
And you cite he might have had his gun.
Yes.
Did that cause any alarm in your brain?
I honestly don't know. Because I think I saw Mr. Greenleaf waving before I noticed, you know? Before I noticed that.
So was your attention on Mr. Greenleaf, but then...
Yes.
Glanced at Mr. Peterson, then heard the loud noise.
Yes.
So it happened very rapidly.
Yes, that sounds like the accurate sequence of events.
Okay. All right, I'm looking for this witness.
Thank you.
Based on that, can you redirect?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Just a few questions. On cross-examination, you said your memory is not 100% on all details, right?
Yes.
Because it happened 5 years ago, correct?
Yes.
This was very traumatic for you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you give a statement to anybody many years ago?
Like an official statement?
Yeah. Did anybody come and give you a statement and find out what you knew?
No. Well, okay. Yeah. I did talk to people in the office, but I don't think that was an official statement.
Yeah, I'm referring to somebody like law enforcement sitting you down and saying, tell us what you know. Do you remember that?
Okay, yeah, that did happen.
Okay, many years ago, correct?
Yes.
Closer to the incident, correct?
It was in the fall of my senior year, so 6 months after the incident, roughly.
Okay. And while you say your memory isn't 100% on certain details, is it 100% on hearing what you thought was firecrackers?
Yes.
Is it 100% on hearing what you thought were firecrackers coming from the soccer field?
Yes.
Is it 100% on hearing what you thought were firecrackers from outside?
Yes.
And was it 100% in your mind not coming from the 1200 building?
Yes. Yeah, I thought they were coming from everywhere. I really didn't know.
Everywhere,
yeah.
Correct? Thank you.
Based on that, any recross?
Just one very just clarification.
Go ahead.
On when I was asking you questions, you called it the freshman building. Is the freshman building and the 1200 building the same building?
Yes, the freshman building is a nickname.
Thank you, Judge.
Okay, is the witness excused?
Yes, thank you.
You may step down. Thank you very much. While she's doing that defense, you may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The defense next calls Deputy Brian Miller. Deputy Brian Miller.
Sir, if I could have you come all the way up here to the witness stand, please.
Yes, sir.
Once you reach it, but before you have a seat, you can stop and look at me, please.
Yes, sir.
Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
So once you are seated, if I can get you to scoot that chair all the way forward as far as it will go.
Yes, sir.
If you could please state your full name and spell your full name.
Brian Miller, B-R-I-A-N.
Good afternoon, Mr. Miller. How are you employed?
I'm sorry, sir.
How are you employed, sir?
I'm a sergeant with the Broward Sheriff's Office.
Okay. And how long have you been a sergeant with the Broward Sheriff's Office?
I was promoted in 2004.
2004. And when did you start with the Broward Sheriff's Office?
1986.
So you've got, I don't want to do the math, how many years do you have in?
A little over 36 years.
And where are you assigned to today?
Central Broward.
And as a sergeant assigned to Central Broward, do you supervise any other officers?
Not at this time, no, sir.
Okay. And I want to take you back to February 14, 2018. Do you remember learning that there was something going on at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas?
Yes, sir.
What drew your attention to that?
A radio call came over. By Deputy Peterson about shots fired, possible fireworks. We heard that, and that's when I started responding.
Okay. So what caused you to go to the school was hearing my client make an announcement over the radio, correct?
Yes, sir.
You had no plans of going to that school but for his announcement, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And do you go alone or with someone?
I was by myself. I mean, there was other cars leaving the station at the same time.
Okay. What happened next?
I was going lights and siren, which we refer to as code 3. Debbie Peterson then started closing off like a perimeter of the area, not wanting vehicular traffic or pedestrians. And since Parkland has five cars normally, as a sergeant, I normally take perimeter spots for such things. So as I was crossing the main road, I slammed on my brakes to try to keep the cars, because I had cars behind me that were normal people, not law enforcement.
Let me ask you, reporting shots fired or even possible shots fired as soon as you hear them. Is that what you're trained to do?
Yes. I mean, as soon as you hear it, yeah, you call it out.
Is there ever a training where they told you, you know, sit on it and wait and not report it right away?
No, sir. Okay.
And so tell us what happened next.
As I was pulling up, I heard several shots. My window was open. I stopped. It appeared to come from the football field, from the sound that I heard.
Let me just take it one step at a time.
Sure.
Had you stopped your vehicle before you heard the shots?
I don't recall if I was still moving or stopped completely.
Okay. And where were you located when you heard the shots?
My car was going on the westbound side. If you were to look at the school, there are gates. One, it would have been where the lock gate for the parking lot is.
Okay. And would you be able to identify it on a map?
Yes, sir.
Which on the spot. But you think you might be able to do so?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to show you what is Defense Exhibit F. And just take a good look at that.
I'm sorry, this is...
First, just take a look at it. Let me know if you can kind of identify where it was that you were when
yes.
heard shots.
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us where you were, sir?
I was coming here, and this is where I stopped.
Okay, so to the right of the D and Holmberg Road, is that what
yes,
you're pointing
sir.
To?
Yes.
Okay.
In that area.
And that would have put you north of the 1200 building?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. How many shots did you hear initially?
I don't remember. Several. Could be three. I don't know.
And could you tell where they were coming from?
I thought it was the football field.
And just so we're clear, if you can take a look at this again, where is the football field as you're relating it?
Sorry. Here.
Somewhere over there.
Yes.
Okay. Did you believe that those shots were contained within a particular building or in an open area?
I couldn't tell. It was reverberating off the sound, and I couldn't tell where it just sounded to the west, and that's...
Your word was reverberating.
Yes, sir.
You just said.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And what's the next thing that you did?
From when I started the shots, I went to the back of my vehicle, to the right passenger. That's where my vest was. I put on my vest. I took out my gun. I was trying to scan to see. I didn't hear any more shots. I was asking Deputy Seward. Seward, S-E-W-A-R-D, who recently passed away. I'm sorry. I mean, had passed away. But anyways, he was there, and I said, "Where did you hear the sounds?" And he was pointing towards the football field as well.
Okay, so he corroborated your thought process that these shots were coming from the football field, correct?
Yes, and then we heard stuff on the radio that made us even more so.
That made you even what?
Believe so, more so, because Deputy Kratz, I believe it was, called out that there was shots fired, and he was in the football field.
Okay, so let me just step back. Were you monitoring your radio on the way to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School?
Yes.
And based upon that, did you have any real-time intelligence of precisely where the shooter or shooters were located?
No.
You are aware that BSO operates on a separate system than Coral Springs, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you later come to learn that these radios were not patched with each other?
I don't recall. I don't remember us ever being on the same channel with them, if that's what you're asking. I'm sorry.
Okay. And when you get to the scene, did you know whether you were looking for one shooter, two shooters, multiple shooters?
No, we did not have that information.
Are you trained that unless you have information telling you otherwise, to believe that there could be multiple shooters on campus?
Unless you have information, otherwise you don't know.
And even though you thought the sounds were coming from the football field, do you say, okay, there must be just one shooter on the football field?
No, sir.
Tell the jurors what you were thinking in real time.
Well, you're at overload. You believe that's where it is, and then I heard that there was a shooting victim in the football field as well. That's, again, just reaffirming my belief.
When you arrive, do you just start running towards the football field or not?
No, I blocked the traffic. I have, like I said, cars behind me. I have Deputy Hanks approaching. He's, because of the traffic backup, he's running on foot, and I'm yelling to him to go up further ahead of me where I see Goolsby and I think Perry, and I can't believe who the other ones were. We're already going inside the building. The gate was approaching towards they were towards the west of me.
I just want to make sure we heard you correctly. You didn't see them going into any particular building.
No, sir. No, they were going through the gate, and it appeared, in my observation from, again, where I'm at, it appeared they were going towards the football field.
And were you continuously trying to monitor your police radio to gather more real-time intelligence?
Of course, you monitor it all the time. I was trying to transmit to Hanks, and my radio wasn't working.
Tell the jurors about that. What was wrong with your radio that day?
When you key up, it would like make a sound like bonk, bonk as you were keying.
What is keying? Tell the jurors what keying is.
When you press the mic to talk into it for someone to hear, it would make a tone. But it would not only do you can't talk, you can't hear with it going over it. They refer to it as throttling, but I don't, for the fact I can't tell you that's the term, I was told it was. But it wasn't working. I mean, I would key up multiple times, and then occasionally it would work. And if you didn't speak when at that time it did work, you would go back to it, just doing that again.
Right after you got out of your vehicle, did you put your vest on?
I went around to where my vest wasn't put on. Yes, sir.
And did you take a tactical position of cover?
Yes, I was behind my vehicle.
Explain to the jurors, are you trained to do that?
Yeah, at this point, you don't know where the shooter is. I took a position of cover behind my vehicle and looked and if I could see where the shooting was coming from. But I didn't from there.
Are you trained to have to wait till gunfire is coming right at you with certainty before you're taking a position of cover?
No, I did it immediately. Well, I was putting on my vest also. I wasn't going to stand up and do it in the open.
And that's how they train you to do that, correct?
Yes, we're trained for cover. We practice shooting behind cover and concealment.
Okay. And tell us how you're feeling. This is not, we're all calm in this courtroom, right? How are you feeling today?
Oh, yes.
How does how you're feeling today differ from how you were feeling when you're on that scene?
Well, your heart's pumping, you're overwhelmed. It's a lot, you're trying to take in a lot.
And does that affect your ability to perceive things and perform effectively?
I don't know you as far as physically or mentally.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just curious how it affected you. We're hearing, I just want to know how it affected you.
I don't know what to say. I mean, we were doing what we were doing.
Okay. And what happened next? You believe that it's coming from the football field.
Yes.
And then what else do you do?
All right. I tried to speak to Hanks. I told Seward, see if he could get on the radio. I didn't know if it was my radio failing individually to see if he could get more units to the block where we were at. So we were able. I was calling for a helicopter. I was calling for K-9. I had Coral Springs Police Department arriving to my location where I was at.
Where did you want K-9 and helicopter to go to?
To my location, because as soon as we found out where we could track, I would then start from there. Because since we've started a perimeter set up, that would be the next thing, because if he's in the football field, we would be tracking that direction.
Okay. And other than you, do you recall who else was taking positions of cover by the football field?
As far as cover, I couldn't. No, Seward was with me, but as far down, all I could see the officers going in. I didn't see any at that point anybody in cover.
Did there come a time when you were on scene that you learned that Coral Springs Police Department was getting different information than BSO?
Yeah, I found that out later, not during it. No, okay. They came up and asked me about cutting a gate.
Okay.
About what?
Cutting a gate.
Thank you.
A lock on a gate, I'm sorry.
And what happened next? What is the next thing that you did?
I tell them where my guys are going in so we don't have an issue. And I said there's a gap between the buildings in front of the gate they were cutting. And I direct Seward to go with them. So if we could get our radios back, at least we'd have ability to transmit, where we're doing. But
did the way that the radios were failing you, did that hinder your abilities on the scene?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's you can't communicate back and forth. It's a problem. It's a safety issue. And, you can't warn anybody where you're at. And, it became a real difficult. It was very frustrating.
Did you ever have problems with the radio prior to that day?
In Parkland, yes.
Tell the jurors about the problems in Parkland.
You could be in the station and they could call you and you wouldn't hear it on your radio. You could try transmitting on your radio. It just wouldn't work. You could be in different areas throughout the city the radio didn't work all the time.
Did you complain to supervisors about the radio?
Oh, yeah, they were aware of it. Matter of fact, I was trying to get them to put a repeater at the station at least so we would have more power.
And how long did you remain in a position of cover?
I stayed at that position because I was, as the sergeant, part of my job is the inner-outer perimeter. So with a not-working radio, I could at least see where people were responding and going and try to work from there.
So do you have an estimation about how long you stayed in your position of cover?
20 minutes in my position, maybe.
Okay. And was Officer Seward with you remaining in that position?
No, he went in with Coral Springs when they cut the gate. I sent him with them.
Okay. And did you ever go into the 1200 building?
No. I was assigned a different task.
Okay. And are you aware of Scott Peterson's performance as a professional?
Yeah, I've worked with him before many times.
Tell the jurors about that.
Very professional. I believe, he was SRO or Detective of the Year a couple times. I worked details with him at the school probably 4 or 5 times that year. And he's very professional.
Did you have any contact with him after the shooting?
Yes, I ran him the following day at the crime scene.
Not yet, because that's over. Go ahead. What's your next question? He answered your question, sir. He ran into him the following day. What's your next question?
Is there anything that you said to him?
Yeah, I just said I thanked him for what he did, and he was very upset. He was, he was very distraught over the whole issue, and I was consoling him.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Cross-examination. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sergeant.
How are you, sir?
I speak quickly. If you need me to slow down, just let me know.
Yes, sir.
I know you stated it, but I think I missed it. How long were you the sergeant in Parkland before 2018?
I was there probably a year and a half.
Okay. And who was your predecessor? Who did you take over for?
I don't know her name.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Whoever that sergeant was, did they gave you a book about active shootings in...
No, Lieutenant DeVita gave me a book.
Oh, Lieutenant DeVita did, okay. And in that book was kind of like a plan of action if there was an active shooting in Park.
It had the policies, it had photographs, and the main, and then on some sheets had the main intersections.
Okay. With that information, you actually met with Mr. Peterson at MSD to go over that information with him.
Yes, that I had received the book. I was told as a new supervisor, I went to every school and to meet with the SRO.
So you actually met with Mr. Peterson at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas?
Yes.
And you walked the grounds with him?
Yes, he was showing me around.
And the purpose of that conversation was to discuss if, worst case scenario, an active shooting occurs, this is the plan.
It was basically to familiarize me with the school, but to be honest with you, if there was an incident there, he says the best place for the command post is actually where we put the command post of the shooting. He says this is where it should go. I mean, he showed me things, but the school is so big. I mean, to be honest with you, it was hard to remember the buildings as it was.
But Mr. Peterson actually gave input into if, God forbid, an active shooting ever happens, this is what we should do.
We didn't discuss what we should do as an active shooter. We had talked about an incident. I mean, we then talked about the operational location for the command place.
And that input was actually given by Mr. Peterson about where the...
He suggested it, yes. Okay.
Now, when you arrived, I'm going to show you a map, Your Honor, if I can just use the projector. Sure. This can be shown. And Sergeant, that screen is actually interactive, so you can actually mark some of the things that we're about.
Okay.
Let me just zoom out. Let me see if I can erase what's already on it. Okay, so with the pencil function, you can actually utilize it. So when you got on campus, you testified under direct that you, not on campus, on the Holmberg.
Yes.
You slammed on your brakes.
Yes.
Where was that? Can you just mark that with an X?
Do I hit the pencil first?
No, you're good to go. You can just mark it.
Okay. About there.
Okay. So that's kind of like the east side.
But I'm on this side of the road.
Okay, so let me erase it. Let's
okay.
Start over.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Let me mark it and you tell me if it's correct.
Yes, sir.
Around there.
Yes, sir.
So on the west side.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's where you slammed on the brakes.
Yes, sir.
To block the intersection.
Yes, sir.
And that's after you heard over dispatch from Mr. Peterson to shut down the intersection.
Yeah, I was, it doesn't have your map. I was further down, say here, according to you, where your map would be.
Okay.
When he was calling, that's when we're coming at a good speed. So that was my reaction time.
Now, how does it work? You're a sergeant, he was a deputy.
Yes.
But in terms of an incident like this, the first responding officer, the first officer there can assume command, basically.
Oh, he was the incident commander, without a doubt, yes.
So even though you outranked him, he was calling the shots because he was there first.
Yes.
So when he told you, lock down the intersection, that's what you did.
Well, I had, like I had previously said, we only have 4 or 5 cars in Parkland, and it doesn't have a lot of cars. So when there's any type of a crime, any type of a burglary, a robbery, I had to do that. Okay. Just so we would be able to actually cover it.
Because with 4 or 5, it isn't, the perimeter typically would require more than 4 or 5.
Yes, sir. And that's if everybody was available, too, at the time.
Understood. Now, when you're on Holmberg Road over here, you thought the shots were from kind of like the football field, right?
Yes.
Or buildings around the football field?
It could have been anywhere from this. Can I touch it?
Yes, please. Okay.
This building, all anything in here, this is where the sound I was hearing.
Okay, so it was coming from the southwest of your position.
Yes, because I'm knowing after the fact building, I am to the northeast of it, that corner.
Northeast shots to the southwest, but you're
yes,
to
sir.
The northeast of where you think the shots are coming from.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you arrived on scene, how many shots did you recall hearing?
I didn't count them. It was several. I don't know.
And those are the only shots you heard the entire time?
Never heard any more.
Okay, so you're there for a couple, were you there for a couple seconds when the shots?
I was pulling up. I couldn't tell you if the vehicle was still moving or I had come to a complete stop.
Were you in the building when you heard the shots? Your window was down, right?
My window was down. I don't recall if I was in, the door was open or not. I couldn't tell you.
When you were in the car?
Yes.
Were you focused looking south towards the, with your head to the left, looking south to the campus?
I was looking in my rear view mirror when I was making sure no one was hitting me because when I came to a very abrupt stop from a pretty fast speed.
So when you heard those shots, you weren't looking towards the campus, you were looking?
No, I just was hearing the sound and where the sound sounded like it came from.
And you never heard shots again that day?
No, sir.
Now, we just discussed that the first deputy on scene is the issues the commands.
It's the person that has the most knowledge. It's not always the first deputy on scene, but I would have, because it's being a school, he's familiar with the school, the locations and stuff. Until he's relieved by somebody else, he's the incident commander.
So he's calling the shots, though, when you got there?
Yes.
Okay. And as the first deputy, or the one with the most, that's the real-time intelligence, right?
No, I mean, real-time intelligence is I would have compared to what I, again, is knowing after the fact. If I would have, the real-time intelligence would have been knowing the shooter was in what building, where the victims were, and all that. That would have been, that's different. But what we're getting is, as we're approaching, it's as it's developing.
The person to whom you look for real-time intelligence, though, is are the deputies that are right there, right?
I'm looking for anyone who has the information, whether if it was Deputy Peace or with communications or with anybody, whoever can give me the updated as it was happening.
Now, you also testified under direct examination that you, the football field, you thought the shots were from the football field.
Yeah, that's where I thought it was from, sir.
You also heard Deputy Kratz call out that there is a victim shot near the football field.
Yes.
Did that call out from Deputy Kratz play into why you thought it was over that
point? Well, I'm sure it's all part of the, when you take in everything, it's your senses. It's not just one thing. Anyway, that is part of it. That's why when I requested for a helicopter and canine, we would be proceeding, and that was my thinking that, okay, soon, you know, once I have this set up and the dog gets there, we're going to start searching for the shooter.
Now, you just, on direct examination, there were questions in regards to the radios throttling.
Yes, sir.
You heard the dispatch from, or the call out from Mr. Peterson about shots fired.
I heard it from Deputy Peterson saying it.
Yes, and you heard from Deputy Kratz about the football field.
Yes.
So you were hearing some in the beginning.
Some of it, not everything, but yes.
Now, you testified that you saw Goolsbee and Perry go inside the gate.
Yes, they went through the gate and they were moving towards the right.
Can you mark what gate you're talking about?
Okay, is that right if I do it like that? It's, yeah. You can put it there, yes.
Okay, so the other entrance, the entrance that's west to that, there's a gate that closes off.
Right, and they were headed that kind of direction.
Got it. And you actually could see them from where you were.
Yes, I could see them going.
And Deputy Seward is with you for when you first get there, correct?
He's with me until Coral Springs goes into the other direction.
So when Coral Springs is going, is heading down towards the east side of the 1200 building, you send Seward
with them.
With them. Can you just track their path? Yeah,
they went this way.
Now, even though you're the sergeant at Parkland, you're not the SRO from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, correct?
No, I'm not the SRO. No, sir.
Based upon the information from Mr. Peterson about locking down the intersection, did that play into why you stayed in that position for the period of time that you did?
Well, my main reason was to stop the traffic and get that under control. I could see several vehicles in front of me, knowing that we only have so many. I'm assuming most of my cars are there. Okay, so I don't believe there's anybody going to be right behind me. And if the shooter is out in this football field, I don't want cars and people going well along there either. I want to block it off.
So is that coupled with Mr. Peterson telling you lock down that road?
Yes.
Because if Mr. Peterson locked down Pine Island, which is you can see on the right side,
I would have stopped there if I could have stopped there in time.
Stop where?
I would have stopped at the Pine Island Road if that was feasible at the point. My going up as far as I did was just reaction time, I'm sorry.
Got it. So for you, the time it took you to basically stop
yes,
your
sir.
Car? You were in a squad car?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, how far would you estimate you were from the 1200 building?
I'm over 100 yards from my car to the very corner of the building, I would assume.
Thank you. Now, on direct examination, you stated shots were never fired again, so I didn't move. What did you mean by that?
Well, if I kept hearing shots, you would move the direction, but I didn't hear any more.
So are you trained that when shots are fired, you move towards the sound of shots?
Yeah, you're supposed to as you can when you can.
And if shots have stopped, then you collect real-time intelligence or look for other stimuli to act upon.
You're trying to determine where, if you can. I mean, again, it's just because you have to determine where. And like, I would be very cautious on coming from where I'm at because I would be so wide open on how I would approach that.
So does that mean that if you're right near the building, if you're 10 feet away from the building, you would be in a better position to kind of go flush against the building as opposed to being 100 yards away?
Calls for speculation, Judge.
Yeah, that's the stand. Go ahead, sir. Ask your next question.
On direct examination, you were asked if you ever went into the 1200 building, and you were said you were assigned a different task. What task was that?
I went to set up the command post.
And where on this did you set up the command post?
There.
I missed it. Can you...
Oops, sorry. Oh. I went to the line, but at the end in the Pine Island Road.
I changed it to green. Can you just mark with an X where the command post is set up? Okay, so actually on Pine Island Road.
That's, yes.
Okay. That's the command post where Mr. Peterson recommended if anything should go down.
We talked to it on that road over in that area. But I wasn't the one that deemed it to be there, just so you know. I was signed to go there.
You were signed to go there.
Yes, I did not deem that to be it. The then incident commander was Captain Jordan.
Captain?
Jordan.
Okay. Just one moment, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
I have nothing further for the sergeant.
Based on that, any redirect?
Yes, thank you, Your
Honor. Go ahead.
Sergeant Miller, before you went to the... Thank you, Judge. Before you went to the command post, I think you said earlier you were in a position of cover for about 15 to 20 minutes, correct?
Yes, I was over in that area.
All right. And when my client locked down the school, did you think that was a prudent action?
Yes, that's a...
Objections, if you
need one. Yeah, that's the thing.
Based on your training, do you believe that that was consistent with how you've been trained?
Yes, during an active shooter that locked down the school, yes.
Tell the jurors why, in this particular circumstance, that would have been something consistent with your training.
You don't want any movement to go through the school. I mean, you want to secure the children or the people in the location where they're at, so if the shooter is out and about, it's less chance of getting more victims or targets.
And while my client was the incident commander at first, I think you mentioned just briefly to the prosecutor that... is it Captain Jordan that took over?
Yes, and then there was another one after that.
Is that Colonel Poland?
Yes, he was the last one.
So when a higher-ranking person arrives on the scene, they assume the role as incident commander, correct?
Again, it was not only so much the higher-ranking, but with the experience, I believe Colonel Poland was a SWAT team commander as well, so I think that's why he assumed that.
And the highest-ranking person who serves as incident commander is responsible for conducting the debriefing. Is that correct?
Yes.
No objects outside the scope.
No, it is outside the scope. That's overruled. Go ahead, sir. You can answer the question.
Yes, the incident commander should have done a debriefing.
Were you ever debriefed?
No, I conducted a debrief of my units that was assigned to my shift, but I was never debriefed by anyone.
Why did you conduct a debrief of the people in your command?
It's a common practice.
No, that's overruled. Go ahead, sir. You can answer the question.
It's a common practice when you go to a scene. That's how you get better at responding to stuff, by talking about what you've seen, what you observed, what you did. So we talk about it so the next time the similar event occurs, you know what everyone should do and what you expect each other. It's not just so much for as a supervisor to direct them. It's the gentlemen on the and ladies on the shift to discuss it as well, so they can talk about the different positions and responsibilities.
I believe you told the prosecutor that hearing Deputy Kratz and others refer to the football field strengthened your belief
Yes, sir.
That the shots are coming from the football field, correct?
Yes, sir.
But did you not tell me that when you arrived on scene and you initially heard those shots, without hearing anything from Kratz, you believed that they were coming
from the football field, yes.
So solely based upon the sound alone, before you hear anything on the radio, you believe that they were coming from the football field?
Yes,
correct?
Sir.
And final question, there was nothing on the BSO radio that you were listening to that ever told you in real time that there was a shooter inside the 1200 building, correct?
No, sir, never.
So you didn't know that kids or adults were being killed?
No,
correct?
Sir. No, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Based on that, any recross?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Just very briefly. You just testified that there was no dispatch call about shooter inside the 1200.
I did not hear that, sir. No.
You didn't hear when Mr. Peterson said inside 1200 over dispatch?
I thought you said, I thought the question was dispatch. I'm sorry.
Did you hear Mr. Peterson say inside 1200?
No, I don't recall. And at the time, I couldn't have told you what the 1200 building was.
Okay. Also on, I guess, recross, you were asked about setting up the perimeter. The priority during a shooting is to stop the shooting, though, and stop the bleeding, correct? It's not setting up a perimeter.
Are you talking my responsibility?
No, I'm talking
or
about as a any BSO.
No, if you have real-time shooter shooting, yes, you are to stop the shooter if you can.
That's the priority, not stopping cars at an intersection.
If you know where the shooter is, no, you're right.
Even if you don't know the shooter, if you hear shots, you go to the shots.
If you know where the shots are, again, it'd be like if I was not going to be responsible for the perimeter, I would have went towards the football field.
If you heard shots?
The ones I did hear.
Got it. Nothing further.
All right, is the witness excused?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, you may sit down. Thank you very much. While he's doing that defense, you may call your next witness. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, real quick restroom break. Same admonition as always. Please don't discuss the facts of the case, the evidence, the witnesses, or the testimony amongst yourselves or anyone else. Until we reach the end of the trial, I'll tell you what that is. If you'll just leave the notepads in the chair, step in the back one moment. I'll be right with you. Thank you.
My advisors present here outside the presence of the jury. State anything you need me to address before we resume the defense presentation.
No, Your Honor.
Defense, anything you need me to address?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, please bring the jury back. Once you're back in those same seats, you may be seated. All the parties may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, when we took our quick restroom break, being in the middle of the defense presentation, we're going to resume at that point. Defense, when you are ready, you may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The defense calls Maximo Rosario. Maximo Rosario.
Before you have a seat, if you can just stop and look at me, please, and raise your right hand. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Please be seated. And once you're seated, if I get you to scoot that chair all the way forward as far as it will go, can you please state your full name and spell your full name?
My name is Maximo Rosario, MaximoRosario.
Mr. Agarsh, you may inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Tell the jurors what you do for a living.
Currently, I work for Broward County Public Schools as a director of technology support services.
How long have you been with Broward County Schools?
Around 24 years.
And did you ever work at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School?
I did.
In what capacity?
I was an assistant principal.
And were you employed as an assistant principal on the day of this horrible shooting?
I was.
And tell us what your interaction was with someone that you knew as Deputy Peterson, Scott Peterson.
Basically, I consulted with him whenever any law enforcement event had to be involved. We engaged in any security matters that dealt with the school.
And did you ever see him involved in breaking up any fights or disturbances?
I did, yes.
And tell the jurors about that.
Basically, if there were fights on occasion, you know, either in the cafeteria, hallways, courtyards, things of that nature, we always had all hands on deck, including Deputy Peterson at the time, who was with us.
Was there ever any tasks that you asked him to do that for whatever reason he chose not to?
Not that I have any, no.
Any incidents where you saw him evidence any kind of cowardice, you know, where he just didn't seem to be courageous?
No.
Just the opposite?
The opposite to me. He always responded whenever I called.
And you were an assistant principal at Marjory Stoneman Douglas for how many years prior to the shooting?
Over 10 years.
Okay. So tell us about hearing the fire alarm. And we're talking about there was one earlier, correct?
I believe so, but I don't recall.
Okay.
The one earlier, I believe there was, but I don't recall that particular alarm. But I know that in the afternoon I did hear an alarm. I was at guidance at the time, going over some events from the previous nights.
What building were you in?
Building one.
The 100 building?
The 100 building, yes.
All right. And tell us what happened.
Heard the fire alarm. I was not in my office, but I had left my keys and my radio in my office. I went by my office, picked up my radio and keys, got on my golf cart. And before I went into the golf cart, though, I went to the annunciator panel, which is where it tells us where the alarm was coming from.
And the radio you had was a school radio?
Yes.
And numerous people have school radios.
Yes.
Correct? If you wanted to compile a list of all the people who have school radios, would that be something that could be done?
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the next thing that you did?
I went and took a look at where the panel, the annunciator panel was, where the alarm was coming from. I identified as the 1200 building and I headed to go in that direction.
Did you make any announcements on your school radio after understanding that the fire alarm was indicating 1200 building?
No, I did not.
Nor did you have contact with my client at that point, correct?
I did not, no.
Right, what's the next thing that happened?
I went on my golf cart and headed towards the 1200 building, where I then parked the golf cart out of the way so that I can then help the students evacuate the building as protocol calls for when we evacuate for a fire drill.
What side of the building did you pull up to?
So I was near the 700 building, right underneath the walkway that was there, near the staircase that goes up to the second floor. I'm there out of the way, so the students have access into the courtyard and out to where the evacuation routes were.
Okay, and then what's the next thing that happened?
I went into the courtyard. I was proceeding to go into closer to the 1200 building. I stopped at that moment because I heard some loud noises, and I also heard a code red being called over the radio.
All right, we'll take those one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Where were you when you heard some shots fired?
So I was near the fence in between the 1200 building and what we call the PE courtyard, or PE courtyard, basically. It's called the 700 building, right outside of the gym area.
Can I ask, first we'll start with a map that is defense F. Can you just take a look at that and see if you can identify roughly where you were?
So it's in this area right here. Let's see. Yep, right here. That's a courtyard right here. This is a staircase. That area, this is a fence area. This is the 1200 building. So I was in that area there, right in between that walkway.
That would actually be west of the 1200 building.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. I think you might have said east earlier. Did you mean to say west? I don't know. Maybe I'm
I don't think I said east,
okay.
But it is on the west side of the building.
It's getting late. Okay, so it's definitely the west side,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And if you could again, put your finger where you were when you heard shots.
I was in this area right here.
Okay, thank you. So that would be between the 12 and 1300 building, correct?
More so towards, yes, pretty much in between those two areas, but right before it, right?
And how close did you get to the 1200 building before you heard shots?
About 30 feet.
Okay. Could you see anybody on the ground?
No.
And do you recognize what's in this photograph that's been marked as, actually it's in evidence as Defense 1? Do you recognize this photograph?
I do.
Okay, and what is that in relation to where you were?
So that is the west side entrance to the 1200 building, right outside. Right outside the admin office.
All right. And is this the side of the building that you approached?
So I was opposite. So if this is the building here, I was more towards this way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is the side of the building that you were on.
That's correct. Yep.
You had gotten off of your golf cart, correct?
Yes.
And you were approaching the building, correct?
Yes.
And how many shots did you hear, approximately?
Approximately 5 or 6.
Did you recognize them as gunfire right away?
Not right away, no.
What did you think that they might have been?
Just loud cracking noises, and then eventually it hit me as if it was gunfire.
Okay. And do you have any experience ever hearing gunfire?
I have.
Tell the jurors about that.
I have a permit, and I've gone to the range. I do go to the range on occasion. I've had a permit from prior moving to Florida. So in New York City, I had a permit.
What kind of permit?
It was in New York City was a semi-concealed weapon carry for a semi-automatic handgun.
So even though you've had a lot of experience with gunfire and utilizing guns, at first when you hear the shots, are you saying you didn't recognize right away with certainty that was gunfire?
That's correct. I did not.
Did you have a thought as to what you thought it might be?
Originally, when we were responding, we thought it was firecrackers that were going off in the building, and that's what I was assuming it was originally.
And when you were standing approximately 30 feet from the 1200 building, in the west side of the 1200 building, where did you believe those shots were coming from?
So I believe it was coming from behind me, because at that point my back was towards the 1200 building. I was facing the 700 building. I believe it was coming from behind me.
Okay.
However, I couldn't really pinpoint where exactly behind me it was.
Okay. Did you think that they were coming from inside or outside? Or both?
I couldn't tell.
So what was in play first was possibly inside or outside, correct?
Could be.
Yeah. And if you could show us on this map what possibly could have been the area that you thought the shots were coming from, okay? Include every possibility.
So I was standing in this area right here, as I stated earlier. It could have been coming from this area. I'm not, precisely don't know where they're coming from. I'm standing here, and my back was towards that area, so I'm facing this way.
I'm going to need to describe what you just said for the record, and maybe you can help me, because it won't show this, that.
Okay.
So first, point to the first place that you said the shots could have been coming from.
So I believe it could have been... from this back area here, which is the 1300 building.
All right, so you're pointing to the 1300 building. Let's start there. Did you know whether it was coming from inside the 1300 building or outside?
No, I couldn't tell.
Could you tell whether it was coming from the roof or from a particular floor?
Could not tell.
Could you tell whether it was coming from the north side of the 1300 building?
No.
The west side of the 1300 building?
No.
The east side?
No.
The whatever side that I didn't say, because I'm getting tired?
That's the south.
That's the south side, yes.
No.
You couldn't tell. That was a possibility, correct? Did you also consider that it could have been coming from the parking lot area?
Well, I didn't think that far ahead, but it could have been coming from anywhere, right? I really couldn't pinpoint specifically where the shots were. I just know something was from behind me.
So you couldn't rule out the parking lot, correct?
Me, no.
All right. And this parking lot area, okay, this is what they call the senior lot?
That's correct.
How many cars does it hold approximately? Do you know?
About 500.
So this is a massive, large lot, correct?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes, it is.
All right. Did you also think that the shots, since you were standing over here and it was behind you...
So I was standing over here.
Oh, that's correct. Did you also consider it could be in this courtyard area between the 12 and 1300 building?
Sure.
Yes? And you couldn't tell whether it was extended northbound or south or east-west?
No, I could not tell you.
Okay. Also, it could have been 1200 building, correct?
Correct. I couldn't tell you.
Could it have been any sides of the 1200 building?
that you heard shots from?
Again, I couldn't identify where they were coming from.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear anyone order a code red?
I did.
Who did you hear order a code red?
So over the radio, I heard Mr. Morford call a code red.
You recognize his voice, correct?
I did.
Did you ever see any kids come out of neighboring buildings?
So the students were starting to come out of the 700 building in the bottom part of that, which is connected to what we call the 500, 600 area. So students were coming out of that area because there are three buildings connected to each other.
Approximately, I know you can't give an exact number, approximately how many students were coming out of the 700 and the connecting 500 building?
So so classrooms were evacuated. When you talk about classrooms, you're talking about 25, 30 students per class that are coming out of that area. So I would say anywhere between. And in my visibility, there was maybe five or six classrooms there, so I'm seeing a crowd of students, maybe 60, 70, 80 students coming out of that area.
How many total? I didn't hear you.
So what I saw was about 60 or 70 or 80 students coming up as they evacuated those buildings, but that whole building houses close to 20 classrooms.
Okay. So how many total students, both combining the 700 and the, you said the adjoining?
The 500 building, which is right below it. So.
And how many students are we talking about?
Anywhere between 600 to 1,000 students can be in that building.
Okay. Were you ever asked to compile a list of all the students that came out of the buildings?
No, I was not.
Is that something that could be done by going to the office and printing out who?
It's a matter of a master schedule, yes.
Okay. When you heard the shots and you didn't know where they were coming from, did you look around?
I did.
And could you tell by looking around where they were coming from?
I could not.
You didn't see any smoke?
I did not, no.
You didn't see any blood?
No, I did not.
You didn't smell anything that led you to believe it was coming from the 1200 building?
I did not.
You didn't see any kids running out of buildings other than the ones that...
Well, not the 1200 building. I was seeing students coming out of the 700 building.
Got it. Have you ever experienced an echo in that area before?
Yes.
Describe for the jurors, first, before the shooting, what you experienced.
So that's a courtyard. So during passing, you can hear, it's very loud. There's a very loud underneath the staircase because it's a covered walkway. And it's a courtyard, so the noise does get trapped in that area.
Okay. And on the day of the shooting, that also would have been in play, correct?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with your hearing, is there?
No.
After the first shots that you heard, did you ever hear any additional shots?
I only heard the 5 to 6 shots that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. You never saw any muzzle flashes, correct?
I did not.
Never saw any bullets coming out of windows or anything?
I did not.
Did you ever see my client during the shooting?
I did.
And what did you see?
I saw Deputy Pierce standing at the other side of where I was originally.
That was considerably far from you, correct?
It was at the end of the 1200 building, on the east side of that, opposite of that east entrance of the 1200 building.
And what did you see him doing, sir?
I saw him leaning against the column that was there. I believe his hands were occupied with his radio. But I couldn't tell what was in his hands. I know he was one hand was leaning on his shoulder here, and he seemed to be leaning towards that. And then he has something else in his hand. I just couldn't identify what that other item was.
One final question. If in that moment, when you heard those shots, and someone told you, go precisely where those shots were, could you have done that?
Objection is speculation.
No, that's overruled. So I don't want you to guess, but if you can answer the question based on your personal...
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. In that moment, thinking back, when you heard the shots, if someone had said, go towards the shots, could you have identified precisely where those shots were coming from?
No, I couldn't.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming in.
Cross-examination, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rosario.
How's it going?
I speak quickly. If you need to slow down, you'll know, okay?
so let's go back to the 14th of February, 2018. Scott Peterson's the school resource officer at MSD, correct?
That's correct.
What are his daily tasks?
Basically, he comes in the morning. He would assist with traffic, as we all do. We all had our different, stations where we were located. Some of them had coverages in different areas. I recall him covering traffic in the morning along with other police officers and crossing guards and things of that nature. Then he will come in and he would either meet with parents or assist administrators throughout the day.
What does that mean, assist administrators?
If there were any cases where we needed to consult with Deputy Peterson at the time regarding anything that included some infraction by a student.
So not necessarily crimes, also infractions.
Well, only if they dealt with crimes. We did it if it was a school discipline nature only, then we wouldn't consult with him. Only if it was something to deal with law enforcement.
Okay. So he would also be responsible, like, if kids were vaping?
Correct. That could have been, if that's an infraction that's covered in our code of student conduct, right? But if it was an actual crime, then we would consult with him at that time. So if there was a vaping event, and we will consult with him.
Okay, so in that situation. Events, you consult with him. What if there's like a minor traffic crash in the parking lot?
He will also assist with that as well.
Okay. Anything else off the top of your head, his daily tasks that he would do?
I know he helped during class changes. He will go out during the class changes as well. He will be standing out there either in the courtyard or in the front office, or if the front office needed him for whatever reason. Those are the kind of things that I do.
To make sure students get to their classes before
correct,
the
correct, and orderly, correct.
So like kind of like almost like truancy type issues?
I wouldn't say truancy, but just making sure that that students are there moving from one class to the next in an orderly fashion without any disturbances with each other.
So now, fire alarm goes off, and you went to the panel. I can't say the word.
Oh. Enunciator panel. I know. I struggled with it, too. So.
Where is that panel?
That panel is actually located in what we had as Deputy Peterson's office.
So it's in Mr. Peterson's office?
Yes.
And that's the only panel in the school?
That's the only panel that I recall.
Okay.
Yes.
And on that panel, if you could just describe for the jury, what does the panel look like?
It's a set of numbers and what we call fish numbers, which are your classrooms, plus a little light next to those areas that is pretty much like a map of the school that shows you where that particular fire alarm was triggered from.
So when the fire alarm is triggered, it would say, for instance, 1200 building?
It would indicate the 1200 building.
Okay. And did it also say something like gas that day?
I don't recall if it said gas on it.
Now, I know Mr. Aguilar showed you this map. I'd just like to use this one. I'm showing you what's states one. Now, your screen is actually interactive, and you can draw on it. Your Honor, if I can be an annotator. Scrolling just a touch. So you can actually mark this with your finger.
Okay.
So when you hear the fire alarm go off, where are you?
So I'm in building one.
Can you just mark that with an X approximately where you were?
Mm-hmm. This is building one right here.
Okay. So you get into the golf cart. Mm-hmm. And which route do you drive?
So I go across the main courtyard, what we call the main courtyard, which is through here, across that way.
And did you park where you ended that line?
I parked right alongside that area there, which is, it's hard to see the map, but there's a staircase there because of the cover right alongside that staircase.
Okay. And that's your assigned area for fire?
Yes.
Alarms. Okay. Now, when you're standing there, you hear shots, you hear the loud noise.
So once I get off the golf cart, I came over to this area a little bit further out, which is this area right here, right by, there's a fence there, okay. Right? A fence with a gate, so I stopped at that area there, so I can visualize the traffic flow both from the bow fence here and this area coming to me from the students. So that's where I stopped and heard the gunfire.
And you're facing south, you're facing away.
And I'm facing the building, correct.
You said building. So
I'm facing the 700 building away from the 1200 building.
Before you stopped, you approximated that at about 30 feet?
I approximate about 30 feet.
Could it be more than that?
It could be.
Okay. Now, when you got up there after the fire alarm, did you look to the east side, I'm sorry, the west side doors of the building?
So there's a bush there. I had no visibility to the door.
So if Aaron Feist was on the ground at that point in time, you wouldn't have been able to see him?
No.
Not from your vantage
point? Not from my vantage point.
Now, after you hear the shots, it's not part of your job responsibility to investigate the location of the shots, is it?
No.
What is your responsibility during a code red?
So during a code red is to ensure that the students and staff are secured behind a locked door and then get myself secured behind a locked door.
And you did that that day?
So I didn't get myself secured behind a locked door. I did get the students back into this building. I did hear another radio call come in after the code red where one of our another assistant principal had students out in the field on the by the 900 building.
Can you just mark where that is?
Sure. So the 900 building is right here. And she has students in this area here, all out of the building.
Okay.
Right? And that building houses, again, another approximately about another 800 to 1,000 students. 800 to about 1,000 students in that area.
So that's where a lot of the students went after the fire alarm slash.
So that building had evacuated, right? Completely. And the other assistant principal, Ms. Figueroa, had called over radio that she was outside. She wanted more indication. At that time, I indicated that to hang tight. I got my students secure that I was going to head over along with the head custodian that was in the courtyard in the area with me as well. We both went out to that area to assist her with the students and not bring the students back. We evacuated the students over to West
Lake. To West Lake, so you evacuated the West. That's
right.
The person with you was the head custodian, Ed Suarez?
Yeah, Ed Suarez, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the radio, you heard Jeff Morford announce the code red.
Correct.
You never heard Scott Peterson announce the code red?
I did not, no.
Now, you said on direct, the sound was kind of trapped in the courtyard. Which courtyard are you talking about?
So this is called the PE courtyard, which is, so this is the gym. This building right here is the gym, right? This is the 700 building right here. This is the 500 building. And in here is a courtyard with a staircase. So I can open smaller courtyard. There's a main courtyard where I cut across that big one. This here is the main courtyard.
I
was standing in the smaller courtyard, which is what we call the PE courtyard.
And where, Mark, did you see Scott Peterson standing?
So Scott Peterson, I saw him standing. Now the trees blocks it a little bit, but he was outside around this area here.
Now, after you secured the students in the 500 building, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You then moved south with Mr. Suarez.
I then moved towards the 900 building south. That's correct.
How long would you estimate, and you can just estimate this, were you in the position facing south to help the students after the shots? Mm-hmm.
5 to 7 minutes.
When you saw Scott Peterson, where was he looking?
He was facing the 1200 building.
And the shots, they were loud?
They were.
Assistant principal, what were you the assistant principal of?
So I was in charge of seniors and guidance, math, and the career technical education program.
So different APs, different assistant principals have different tasks.
That's correct.
Assignments. Okay. As part of your assignment, did you attend a class in January of 2018 in regards to code reds?
I did.
Was Mr. Peterson there?
I believe all security staff was there, yes, including Deputy Peterson, yes.
And at that class, what were you taught to do in your position?
So under code red, we were taught to lock down, secure the building, and then wait for law enforcement to come in and take over the situation. We basically just ensure that the building was locked down.
And law enforcement will take care of any shooters if it's an active shooter situation?
So for me, law enforcement takes care of the situation after that. Yes, once we're locked down, we are not, code red for us means no mobility. Right, lock down, stay behind closed door until you hear further from law enforcement.
Now, after you went to West Glades with the students, you actually went back to MSD later that day, right?
So it was about, yes, later in the evening. It was about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening that I was returned back to MSD.
Because you were, like, the IT guru.
Correct.
So part of your responsibility, or what you were asked to do, was basically download the videos that we've seen.
Correct. That's correct.
And on campus, the school resource officer is the only person with a gun, correct?
Correct.
At any point in time during the 5 to 7 minutes that you were, I guess, herding the students back into the 500, at any point in time did you turn around to face the 1200 building?
Briefly, I don't think I might have just looked back.
Like kind of glanced back? As
yes.
You didn't position your entire body around?
I did not. Most of the time I was facing the 700 building.
And when you were, let's say, hurting him back, I'm just going to erase this for a second. Where were you standing? Were you standing in the same spot that you were?
So I was a little bit.
A little bit
clearer,
hopefully. There we go.
Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, there's a fence right here. So, once I was herding the students back, I was a little bit further in. So, I was like in this area right here. That's like in the center of the courtyard itself. There's a staircase. This is the opening of the staircase. It's a staircase there. And then there's an open walkway on right above here. So, if you go across here, this is actually a walkway where students come out of the classrooms, they walk in that area, and then they head towards the staircase. So okay. They have visibility to me, and I have visibility to them.
So any student going down that staircase or on that walkway, you were telling?
Correct.
To get away.
To get back. To get back and lock themselves down into the classroom.
And did you lock in the classroom? Did any of them flee south?
So all the students I saw them go back into the classroom.
Mr. Rosario, thank you.
Based on that, we redirect.
Just one question.
Go ahead.
At any time during the time that you're here in this area by the 1200 building, including the time where you glance back and you look at the 1200 building, was there any evidence to you in real time that there was a shooter inside the 1200 building shooting children?
And not to me, no.
No, correct?
Not to me, no.
Thank you.
Based on that, we cross.
Just one question. Was it your job to identify where an active shooter was?
No, sir.
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas campus?
No, sir.
Nothing further.
Okay, is the witness excused?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, sir, you may step down. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, based on the time, we'll press pause on the trial at this point. A little bit of a different schedule going forward tomorrow. Only because of some other matters that I have to handle, which have nothing to do with this trial. I don't want you waiting around for me in the morning, so you can have the morning back at your normal lives. What I'm going to ask you to do is tomorrow, which is Thursday, June 22nd, eat lunch on your own, and I'm going to ask you to be at the jury room at 12:30 p.m., and then we're just going to go through the work for the afternoon tomorrow. Okay? And again, that's so you're not waiting for me while I'm handling other matters that have nothing to do with this trial. So ladies and gentlemen, same admonition as always. Please do not discuss the facts of the case, the evidence, the witnesses, or the testimony amongst yourselves or anyone else. Please do not do any research on the case. I'm going to ask you to continue to not watch the news. Do not read the newspaper. If you will leave the notepads in your chairs, they will be waiting for you when you come back. Have a good night. I will see you tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. in the jury room. Okay, we're outside the presence of the jury. State, anything you need me to address before we recess the trial until tomorrow?
No, you're not.
Defense, anything you need me to address?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Okay, so the trial will be in recess until tomorrow, which is Thursday, June 22nd at 12:30 p.m. Division FX will be in recess until tomorrow, Thursday, June 22nd at 8:45 a.m. I hope you all have a good rest of your night. All right, Madam Court Clerk, that is it.
Mark,
that wraps up segment number four in today's coverage of the trial of Scott Peterson, the Parkland School Resource Officer. Keep it here and press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage on this case as it continues to unfold. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.